Good morning and welcome. My name is Andrew, and I am the service leader for this month. In this congregation, services are led by members of the fellowship, and presentations are made by fellowship members and invited speakers. Inspiration for our services derives from the seven Unitarian Universalist principles that are printed on the back of the order of service. These principles remind us that we celebrate life, seek truth and meaning, practice compassion, and promote justice. We'll begin our service with announcements. There are some listed in the order of service. If you have an announcement that you would like to present, you're welcome to come up now and use the microphone.
I'll see if I can get this straight. Okay, well, everybody here knows that we're having our treaty workshop on Saturday. We have about 32 people registered, plus the speakers. And we've gotten a few from outside the Unitarian community, so we're doing well. So people that have volunteered to help out, before we all leave today, we'd like to just have a quick discussion to just cover off what we're doing. Okay, thank you.
I'll now light the chalice. This flame is a symbol of the torch that has passed from hand to hand and life to life. It is a symbol of caring and concern. It is a symbol of the passion for engagement and involvement that mark the men and women of our liberal faith. Our first reading is number 605. And from what I've read, Chang-Yung is both a doctrine of Confucianism, and it's the title of one of the four books of Confucian philosophy. Number 605. So we can read this together in unison. Oh, how great is the divine moral law in humanity. Vast and illimitable, it gives birth and life to all created things. It towers high up to the very heavens. How wonderful and great it is. All the institutions of human society and civilization, laws, customs, and usages have their origin there. Our first hymn is number 16. 'Tis a gift to be simple. Thank you.
I'll play it through once and then we'll see what you ask.
Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be, and when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When truth's simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. To turn will be our delight. By turning, we come round right. 'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we ought to be, and when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shan't be ashamed. To turn will be our delight, till by turning we come round right.
Thank you, Hillary. That was wonderful on extremely short notice. And the choir apologizes for coming in before you had actually finished going through the piece the first time. One way that we express caring for one another in this fellowship is our practice of giving members the opportunity to light a candle and to briefly tell us of a particular joy or concern. If you have a joy or concern you wish to share, now is your chance to come up and light a candle and share your joy or concern with us.
Thank you, Andrew. Hi, everybody. And hi, Megan. And it's not a joy or concern. It's just a friend of mine, a dear, dear friend of mine in Montreal, died on Monday after 10 years battle of cancer. She don't want to be treated. And obviously she slowly but surely left this world. So it's a candle for her and hope that wherever she is, she's still smiling over. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Glenna, and I have a few friends who are really struggling right now. And we were talking about thinking that maybe the planets are aligned funnily or something, because everyone seems to be having a little crisis. So this is for everyone who's feeling like they're having a little crisis.
I'm Sandra, and I'd like to light a candle of joy for Ralph Vaughan Williams and the Regina Symphony Orchestra. They played the Antarctica Symphony last night, and it was absolutely wonderful. So for those two things that exist in my world, I'm very grateful.
Friday was March the 8th, International Women's Day, and I'd like to light a candle. The first part of the candle has to do with the fact that there's so much to be done. But the good news is there's a book recently come out, I think Sally Armstrong, I'm not sure, who says that progress is being made. So that's the good news. So it's good to know that.
I'm Ingrid, and I have a joy and a concern. The joy is totally narcissistic. It's for myself. I leave tomorrow to go to Bangkok, and it's 33 degrees there. That's a little bit of a concern, but I'm very lucky to be able to do that, and I'm gone until April 18th, so I'm going to miss my community, but I'll see friends and family, too, eventually. The concern is about the fact that I was working for Ryan Miley, who was running for the leadership of the NDP, and he was a new, refreshing, intelligent, wonderful man with a lot of integrity, and he didn't win. He only lost by 44 votes, so I was feeling sad about that. But I'm sure he'll do some good things somewhere.
This is Annalise, and she'd like to light a candle because...
I'm dreaming in a hotel.
We went in a hotel a while back, and she has good memories of that. But also, it was her birthday, and we did sing for her last week, but we had that on Monday, and she's very happy about that, too, she said before.
This is Nanami.
And it's the second anniversary of the tsunami in Japan.
I'm lighting one final candle now in recognition of all the joys and concerns that remain unspoken today. will now collect the donations which make it possible for us to meet here each Sunday. And we'll have a chance to listen to some recorded music that has been selected for today. Children who'd like to participate in the children's program are invited to go downstairs at this time. Our speaker today is Helen Christensen, and Helen is a retired university professor who has been a member of the fellowship for almost 3 years. She's originally from Montreal, but has lived in Holland, England, and France. She came here from Calgary when she was invited to apply for a job in the Faculty of Education at the University of Regina. She is married to Bruno Sahu, our lay chaplain, whom she met on vacation in Africa in 1976. And Helen is the chair of our Sunday service committee.
Are you turning me on? Yeah, he's turned me on. Woohoo! Well, I've got everything except a pocket, so please don't let me, let this fly or something like that. Every time I make a presentation, I have to remember to thank Ethel, because this is just such a wonderful book, and I'm getting more and more into it. So, Confucianism. I sort of thought about asking everybody just take a deep breath now. Take a deep breath. And forget everything that you think you know about Confucianism, because I'm about to rewrite the map, well, actually representing Prothero. So, the way of propriety, I don't know about you, but I had to look up propriety in the dictionary, and it's proper behavior towards one another, doing the right thing. And before getting into the presentation itself, which, by the way, is loaded, okay, I tried to really keep it simple, but it's loaded, so I'll do my best here. So I wanted to share a few things as a sort of a prologue, and these were things that I thought were quite interesting. First of all, Confucius' name and pronunciation was Kongqi, okay, with the family name first. In Chinese, he's often known as Kongzi or Kongfuzi. Both mean Master Kong. The Latinized name Confucius is derived from Kongfuzi, which was first used by 16th century Jesuit missionaries to China. So, and according to Prothero, Confucius, who lived about 2,500 years ago, is one of the five most influential people in recorded history. So, secondly, we all know one of his most famous teachings. We all know it. And what is it? What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others. So that came from Confucius. Thirdly, what allows us to call Confucianism a religion? Paul Tillich, theologian, philosopher, defines religion as ultimate concern. Prothero argues that Confucianism could be called a this-worldly religion because it's an attempt to find the sacred hidden in plain sight. For Prothero, Confucianism is a type of religious humanism, whereas secular humanists insist on emptying the world of the sacred, Confucians insist on infusing the world with sacred importance, seeing heaven in humanity, investing in human beings with incalculable value, and hallowing the everyday. In other words, in Confucianism, the secular is sacred. Confucians care deeply about the following dimensions of religion, and this is a list: the institutional, the material, and most centrally, the ethical and the ritualistic. But perhaps the most important DNA Confucianism shares with other members of the religious family is faith in individual transformation. And finally, Confucianism is grouped today alongside Taoism and Buddhism as one of China's three teachings. According to a popular Chinese saying, every Chinese wears a Confucian cap, a Taoist robe, and Buddhist sandals. In other words, Chinese are Confucians at work, Taoists at leisure, and Buddhists in death. So just a few preliminary things. Now, some biographical notes about Confucius. He lived about 2,500 years ago, from 551 to 479, before the Common Era. He was born into a family of little means. His father died when he was a child. Confucius responded to the death of his father by pouring himself into his studies, and he became the first private teacher in China. Confucius taught his students to try to become, and I'm going to say the Chinese, well, attempt, yunqi, exemplary people. Wanted his students to become exemplary people by learning to cultivate ren, human-heartedness, and li, propriety, ritual, etiquette. For Confucius, the purpose of education, and I share this idea, this is so great, I think. The purpose of education was to empower students to transform themselves into complete human beings, people who both understand and embody what he called the five virtues. And what are they for him? Human-heartedness, justice, propriety, wisdom, and faithfulness. So that idea, so teachers here, to empower students to become complete human beings. Confucius died in his early 70s, and according to Prothero, was not particularly successful during his lifetime. Now, a little bit more about. During the Han Dynasty, and that was after Confucius' death, Confucianism became the state orthodoxy. In other words, an established set of beliefs. I'll say more about the evolution of Confucianism later on, but right now I want to say a little bit about the two books that are considered to be the authoritative books on Confucianism in China. And both of these books were written over 2,000 years ago. Confucius is traditionally credited with having authored or edited the five classics, which have now become the four. I think the fifth one has now moved into another space. So the five classics are really a set of books. It's called a book, but it's a set of books. And by the way, you can look them up, and if you have, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, you can just stay at the computer and read the whole thing. So the first one, five classics, the Book of Change, Yijing. This book is the most celebrated in both China and the West today. It is a book of wisdom about change and circumstance that reveals ancient secrets about how things are born, die, and change through the endless interaction. It's coming through the endless interaction of yin, which is feminine, shady. I'm having trouble saying this. Feminine, shady, cold, hidden, passive, soft, yielding. I'm quoting here, okay? That's yin. And yang, okay, guys, sit up here. Masculine, bright, hot, evident, aggressive, hard, controlling, and heaven. This is a quote. Yin and yang, heaven. Yeah. So that was the first book, the Book of Change. The second book is the Book of Documents. This is a collection of historical records and speeches alleged to have been written by rulers of early Chinese dynasties. It may be the oldest Chinese narrative, dating back to the 6th century before the Common Era. So that's pretty old, 2,500 years. So, Book of Change, the Book of Documents. The Book of Odes. This is the oldest anthology of Chinese poetry, a collection of over 300 poems divided into 160 folk songs, 105 songs sung at court ceremonies, and 40 hymns and eulogies sung at sacrifices to gods and ancestral spirits of the royal house. So the Book of Odes. And I don't know about you, but I feel that all the things that we have seem to be fairly new compared to this. This is really old and still exists. Number four, the Book of Rites, and this is R-I-T-E-S, so ceremonies. This describes proper etiquette and rituals. The version studied today is a reworked version compiled by a scholar over 2,000 years ago, and it's believed that the original text was written by Confucius himself. And then finally, and this is number five, which has gone into some other set of documents, the Spring and Autumn Annals. This is a historical record of the state of Lu, which is Confucius' native state, over 2,500 years ago, and it is said, again, to have been compiled by Confucius himself. According to Prothero, these documents emphasize the centrality of collective memory in creating a stable society. So the main books, then, the Book of Change, the Book of Documents, the Book of Odes, the Book of Rites. Then there's another set called the Analects, Lun Yu, the Analects of Confucius. And I looked up the word analect, and the word comes from the Greek, and it means to gather up. So that makes sense, say the Analects, gathering up the saying. Collection of sayings and ideas attributed to Confucius and his contemporaries. Traditionally believed to have been written by Confucius' followers.
She was talking about Analects, collection of sayings and ideas attributed to Confucius and his contemporaries. Traditionally believed to have been written by him, I think she said that. One of the most widely read and studied books in China for the last 2,000 years. And according to Wikipedia, continues to have substantial influence on Chinese and East Asian thought and values today. Quotes from the Analects. When the stables were burnt down, on returning from court, Confucius asked, "Was anyone hurt?" He did not ask about the horses. By not asking about the horses, Confucius demonstrates that the wise person values human beings over property. Zigong, a disciple, asked, Is there any one word that could guide a person throughout life? The master replied, "How about reciprocity? Never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself." another version of the Golden Rule, which I noticed you probably did too. What teachings did Confucius transmit and transform? We need to begin with learning. The point of learning is to produce virtue and propriety. At the heart of Confucian ethics is Li, meaning in today's terms, doing the proper thing in the proper way under any given set of circumstances. Li includes avoiding extremes in both thought and behavior, taking your pleasures in moderation, and otherwise following the balanced and harmonious way of heaven. After Confucius. Following Confucius's death, the Confucian conversation was dominated by two competing thinkers, Mencius and Xunzi. Mencius, human beings basically good. Education cultivates our nature. Xunzi, human beings are basically wicked. Education doesn't cultivate our nature, it changes it. The Qin Dynasty was the first imperial dynasty of China, lasting from 221 to 206 BCE. Confucian books were burned. Han Dynasty, 136 BCE. The five classics that she earlier described became the official state doctrine, required reading for all Chinese students. Confucian education was the ticket to employment in the Chinese bureaucracy. Tang Dynasty, 618 to 907 Common Era, so about 1200 years ago. Confucianism lost ground to Taoism and Buddhism, but revived under the Song Dynasty, about 1200 Common Era, was called Neo-Confucianism. So now we go to Neo-Confucianism. Two key developments. Stealing of ideas, practices from Buddhism and Taoism. For example, meditation, mental, physical, and spiritual practices. For example, book reading, quiet sitting, ritual practice, and physical exercise. Rearrangement of the Confucian canon, 1130 to 1200 Common Era, from five classics to four books, as the starting point for learning. I'm sure there are some other things she had that would fill in here that I don't have access to her mind. Greater attention to mental and spiritual questions. But, according to Prothero, Neo-Confucians distinguished themselves from Buddhists and Taoists by their continued emphasis on ethics and history, and by their continued commitments to reason and humanism. Now, Confucianism in the 20th century clash with Maoism. The Red Guard seized and burned Confucian books, destroyed the statue of Confucius at the Confucian Temple in Chufu, Confucius's hometown. And today, Confucian studies programs, there are Confucius studies programs in universities across China, so it's coming back. Pro-Confucian movement strong today in China. New Confucianism, called by some the third wave, spreads across the globe. New Confucians seek to bring the ancient wisdom of their tradition to bear on such current challenges as science, liberalism, democracy, and human rights, and purge that tradition of sexism and patriarchy. New Confucians seek an authentically Confucian feminism. Now we come to Boston Confucianism. Leading advocates from Harvard and Boston University, The debate is linked to Mencius and Shunzi. Regating, I don't know that word, inherent good and evil. So Mencius was human beings born good, Shunzi, they're born bad. So it's about reconciling those two. There was an agreement, no reason for Confucianism to restrict itself to China and or Asia. Many new Confucians, emphasis on mutuality rather than on hierarchy in male and female relationships. Conclusion of this movement, over the centuries, Confucianism has become increasingly religious through interactions with Buddhism and Taoism, but it remains extraordinarily this-worldly. One of the most influential of the great religions, but also the least religious. Finally, Prothero cites Wendell Berry. Now, we have some Wendell Berry readings in our hymn books, our song books. A contemporary American philosopher saying that for a Confucian, living is a communal act. I like that because that's what we do here. Prothero suggests we could begin that with Confucius says. Now Helen has a piece on religious and secular humanism, the distinctions. These are her references, so I don't know what she intended to do with those in anything. I do know that one aspect, I think, of Confucianism is loyalty to one's family. So it's called filial piety. I know that that's, and that is still strong in China today. At least it was in 1992-93 when I taught there. All of the essays of my third year English students had something to do with filial piety and how much they revered and admired their ancestors, their parents, and those before. So that's what Helen prepared for you in very brief form and uninformed form. So I hope that I've done some kind of job. Maybe we want to have a discussion about Confucianism. I don't know. I sure won't be able to answer any questions.
There's something I hope you could read.
Okay, have you got it?
I'm not following the virtue of propriety, but many years ago when we were as tourists in China, we were on the Great Wall. We were with a group of travel agents, and we stopped for a rest, and we met people from Thailand, from Bangkok. We had a little visit with them. And then as we went to carry on, one of our travel agents was sitting there having an enormous laugh. And, well, what are you laughing about? Maybe you've heard this tale before. Oh, she said, we were talking to these people from Bangkok. She said, oh, Confucius say, fat man who go through a narrow doorway, Bangkok.
Well, it's all of a piece, isn't it? Carol? Oh, someone? I'm sorry.
A fundamental part of every religion or philosophy of life is what happens to you after you die. Hmm. And the other one is the meaning of creation. Where did it all come from? Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious about those two very fundamental questions, and I don't think she really touched on those. I'm curious if anybody knows anything about that.
Yeah. Does anybody know about Confucianism? Marina?
What is the Taoism, isn't it? Did you say Lao-tse?
I just said that
Confucius.
What does Confucius have to say about
Where we come from and where we go after.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was a quote that Helen drew upon, and it was about being Confucius at work, Buddhist in depth, and Taoism at leisure. Right. Yeah. So I wonder if that doesn't in part answer the question. Maybe Confucianism is more of a philosophy, even though there's strong kind of religious connotations there.
I just remembered.
Pam, did you want to say something first?
No.
Well, Ethel, you've read the book, so you probably know a lot about it.
No. But what I do have here is on the bottom of page 106. It does say that, but when asked to speculate about spirits, gods, and the afterlife, Confucius always directed the conversation back to human beings and this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that has been said in her material. Yeah. Carol had her hand up.
We have time, so we've got Carol and then Joanne at least.
Thank you. I may have missed this part, but basically all of these religions are discussed in terms of the problem and the solution. Mm-hmm. And I think I almost hear the solution in propriety. What was the problem?
That's a good question, Carol. What is the problem?
Well, oh, holder of the book.
We'll give Ethel a minute there to see if she can find something, and I'll pass this over to Joanne.
I was just going to ask if you could look through the talk, the text of the talk, and see if you could find where it was listing the five traits. It was maybe halfway through her written, Helen's own written stuff. But maybe it's in there too. It was just
five traits.
Yeah, okay. There was wisdom and
some
other
ones.
Wait
till I get my glasses. Do you know about five traits of Confucianism, Ethel?
It was five traits of humans. She was talking about education, transforming humans into complete beings,
mm-hmm.
and that there would be five traits that those human beings would display.
Okay. There's one heading here that I'm looking at that says religion or philosophy. So that's what I've always thought of Confucianism too. Is it really a religion? Overcoming chaos through character. There are no subheads here. In her text? Has she already spoken about five traits? Okay. Where was I? Say those. What are the three that you know?
Well, the last one was faithfulness, propriety, and wisdom. So?
Oh, right.
The
yes.
other two were? This is a test.
It sure is for me. Wisdom, faithfulness. Oh, this is a test. Come on, everybody. Human heartedness, propriety. What was that?
Faithfulness. That was the last one. There's one more.
We've got four. She didn't get very far, did she?
In the meantime, while everybody's wondering, Helen has gone to the hospital.
Has she? That's a good thing. Yeah.
Or they will be taking her.
Was she able to say what her symptoms were?
She has some chest pain and dizziness.
She did. Chest pain and dizziness.
She didn't lose any consciousness or anything. Hmm? She did not lose any consciousness.
Okay. Same. Wayne will now describe how Helen left here.
No. The paramedics have spoken with her, and she's able, under her own steam, but with some assistance, to walk out. She's in the ambulance. They're checking her out, and they were going to take her to the hospital, and Bruno was going to follow.
Okay. But she was faint, and she...
She felt faint, and she has some chest pain, apparently,
pain.
So a little dizziness. But she did not lose consciousness or anything like that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
But Bruno is very concerned, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And so are we all. I'm sorry, I just can't find those things. Well, come on up. Okay. Who else wants to say something? Maybe we're finished. If we take anything out of this, it should be those five character traits.
The one we were missing, Jamie, was justice. So, you're accountable. So if I read the five right now, anybody who's taking notes, human-heartedness, justice, propriety, described as proper behavior, wisdom, and faithfulness.
Any last comments before we finish this part?
I'm wondering if the problem... I'm going to check closer, but I'm wondering if the problem was chaos.
Chaos.
What the problem was and what the solution is? I'm wondering, because I'm thinking it's chaos, and then it's bringing harmony. Okay.
Thank you, everybody who stepped in to make a... Yes, especially Sandra, thank you.